Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this Tuesday, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We just ask you to come and join us now as we begin our time with devotion, which is song, scripture, and prayer. We're going to have a song by Vicky Yohi. We're going to have, Because of Who You Are, we're going to have Scripture by Dr. James Nooks. And I am Dr. Susie Street Beavers, and I will offer the prayer.
Connection.
I'm here. waiting on you to read the scripture.
Okay. Our scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, 12 through 21. For we do not command ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf. Then you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me in submission to God? Well, we come before you this evening and we just celebrate you. Thank you for meeting every one of our needs, for waking us up this morning, for touching us with your finger of love, for giving us, Lord, love instead of what it is we truly deserve. We praise you and glorify you, for you are a God who is kind and merciful. We come before you tonight asking, oh God, that you would be with us and open our spiritual eyes so that we can have clarity and understanding. Teach us, Lord, and help us to know you and to walk in your way. Teach us, oh God, the things, the hidden truths that not all can ascertain because our hearts are not open. Help our hearts to be open, oh God. For your word says if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Lord, the love of Christ compels us to study. The love of Christ compels us to seek to be like you. The love of Christ compels us to try to be better than who we are so that we can stand before you in righteousness and know that you will say, good and faithful servant, well done, instead of cast us away as goats. We praise you tonight, Lord, and we just receive that which you have for us, that we will walk in the victory of knowledge today. We will learn something new that will transform our lives to be more like you. We ask these blessings and we thank you in advance for the love that you've given, the mercy you've shown, and the fact that you're going to take us to a new place. We ask these blessings now in Jesus' name. We love you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We are here tonight, and tonight is the 14th, the second week of our lesson. We're talking about walking with Christ. It's the lesson for the month of August. Just asking that as we go through the lesson tonight, remembering that our first lesson talked about lordship and abiding and resting in Christ. This night, we're going to be talking about restoration, how we need to be fruit-bearing. If we're not fruit-bearing, then we'll be barren and what that looks like. So we're asking that you would listen to Dr. Nooks and receive from his teaching, and not just listen to it tonight, but to do something about transforming your life with what it is that we hear. You can take it home and incorporate it into our lives. So, Dr. Nooks, if you are ready to go, I am totally excited about learning something new tonight and being about God's business. So let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. My sisters and brothers, it's just a wonderful opportunity, and we're excited about being with you tonight. Can we do a roll call? Who do we have online with us tonight?
Eric is here.
Hello, Eric.
How are you?
Good. Good. Dr. Susie and myself, we're going to talk about restoration tonight and fruit bearing. We have the story of Job, where Job was a wealthy man, and all kind of things were taken away from Job, and Job believed in God, and Satan tempted him by taking away things from Job. And because Job stood strong in God and his belief in God, Job had everything restored to him that was taken away. And I think a lot of us are concerned about what we have in possessions. And I want us to look at this word restored, and I'm going to use another word tonight called reconciliation to go along with that word restore, because we need to be reconciled or restored to our position in God. So I guess I'd like to start out by asking the question this evening, what does it mean to be restored spiritually for those that are listening in? What does it mean to be restored spiritually?
This is Eric. So that's a great question. So let me make it even more tempting to not want to say anything. In order to be restored, you first got to have a spiritual relationship. Because if you're talking about the act of restoration or restoring, that is taking something that has lost its luster. That is, normally we think of furniture, restoration of old furniture, old houses, if you will. They were, you know, grand at one time. They were, you know, pleasant. They were appealing. But through the years, through neglect, through any number of things, they began to deteriorate. They began to wear out, to wear down. And then someone comes along and sees the beauty of what used to be and try to restore that to its former glory. And I know that's talking about more physical things. But
yeah,
if you use that analogy with our spirituality, we first need to have had a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that was once profitable, that was once good, that was, you know, flourishing. And somewhere through our journey, through our trials, our tribulations, we begin to wane, slack off. And then we find ourselves in a place where, you know, we don't have a connection. Or we don't have a very strong connection. I can't say we don't have any connection. We don't have a very strong connection. And to be restored, for me, this is Eric, for me is to confess my part in that relationship, because, you know, God doesn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. To confess my part in damaging that relationship or deteriorating that relationship, and then make the transformation to try to get back to what it used to be. which means I'm going to be in prayer, I'm going to be studying, I'm going to have conversations, I'm going to seek out people who can point me in the right direction in small groups and in individual conversations with folks who have a good relationship. And so, I mean, that's what it kind of looks like to me, Dr. Lutz. I know that was a long way to get to what I said, but I guess the key fact for me is that if you're talking about restoration, you first have to have had a relationship that was functional.
Amen. Yeah, and amen. This is Dr. Susie. I concur with what Eric has said as well. And I keep thinking of the scripture that we often use. It says, if my people who humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from all wicked ways, and I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins and heal their land. So, for me, the first part of any type of restoration is having humility, understanding that who we are standing before a mighty God is that we're nothing, but only by that which God has empowered us to be, and to see ourselves before God as filthy rags. I mean, but that in our relationship with Him, that we are the children of God, that we're, you know, that we are His, what God has chosen to empower. But without the Lord, we're nothing. We are, you know, God is everything. And to when we recognize the significance of who we are in the midst of the world and everything, it lets us know clearly that our humility needs to be in the midst of being up front and recognizing our positioning, our stature, who we are as individuals. Because I think sometimes as human beings, we think we all dead in a bag of chips because we know some physics or we know some things about the universe when God created it and blinked it, and, you know, we haven't figured out. So the humility piece is really important. And then the fact that we will go to God in prayer. And prayer to me is that which puts us in a posture to be able to perform the perfect will of God, to do exactly what it is that God has requested us to do. And it prepares us and has us ready to go before the Lord. You know, when we look at what Christ has always done, He said, you know, Father, if you will, remove this cup from me, never my will, but thy will. So we come to the table with a sense of seeking what God would have us do to prepare us for whatever task that God has. So I guess once we have that humility, then we seek to discover God's will for our lives through prayer. And then having some sense of fellowship, communion, you know, koinonia, where we're seeking God's face, you know, trying to be in communion with God and fellowship with God. And, you know, and we have so many scriptures that tell us to seek the Lord. And as we realize, you know, even the scripture I said initially when he says, if you will seek my face, you know, then I will heal the land, you know. And so seeking God's face is really important because some of us act like God needs to come to us. You know, we've forgotten actually who we are, and that's why I keep talking about this humility piece. So, you know, seeking faith, God's face, going after God. You know, I hear guys talk about how they chase women or just gotta have it. You know, I gotta have him. I can't live without the Lord. You know, I can't make it without him on my side. I don't even wanna see what that's like. I just want God to be with me, to walk with me, to talk with me, to tell me which way to go. I don't want to be without. So I'm going to seek. And in doing so, when I'm able to come before the Lord, I want to be turning away from whatever it was that I did inappropriately. metanoia, turning away from repenting and then turning towards God, away from whatever has caused the gap, has caused the separation, has caused the loss in fellowship, and then turning
Amen.
Back and running as fast as I can back to God.
Amen.
Yeah, Dr. Susie, also in that scripture, the first part of that scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name.
Amen.
So there again, I mean, you've got to have established that relationship prior.
Right.
I mean, everything
that's
you said,
why I said
is
I agree with
correct.
You.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that's a very critical scripture in the restoration. And I want us to turn to Ezekiel 37:1-10. This
Ooh.
Is about the story of Ezekiel 37:1-10.
I was just over there yesterday.
Yeah.
You talk about them dry bones.
That's right. That's right.
Oh. Yeah.
Somebody got that?
Yeah, I got that. What you want? Down to 14 or to what?
That's fine.
All right, this is the New Living Translation. Literally, I was over here yesterday. New Living Translation. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to the valley filled with bones. He led me around among the old dry bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak to the bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord said. Look, I am going to breathe into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke these words just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each bone came together and attached themselves as they had been before. Then as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bones, to cover their bodies. But they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak to the winds and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke as he commanded me. And the wind entered the bodies, and they began to breathe. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army of them. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old dry bones. All hope is gone. Now give them this message from the sovereign Lord. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You will see that I have done everything just as I promised. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I've been really concerned, my brothers and sisters, about our culture, our country, and our churches. My heart has really been breaking and hurting when I've seen what is happening right now. And it's a great falling away. And Scripture said that there would be such. But we have the appearance of righteousness, but we don't have the Spirit of God. in many cases, and it's very damaging. It's very hurting to the world. We need to call on and pray to God to awaken folks and to restore us back to the kind of spiritual connection that we had with God. Those that know the Lord really need to be examples and ambassadors for Christ in these times. But I'm just asking Eric and Dr. Susie to respond to this text here about restoration in the Valley of Dry Bones and how that text speaks to you for our time today, and share with our listeners.
This is Eric. I often I remember, you know, really trying to really understand that passage, and I often come to this conclusion. If God does things like this, how much more could he work in my life if I just surrender?
Yes.
To think that there's a valley of bones that have scattered and disjointed and, you know, broken up and away from each other, that just at his feet, bone would join bone. He would put flesh and sinew and skin. Things that we couldn't even imagine to be done. But how much more could he do in my life if I would only know that he is Lord and acknowledge that? Submitting and being obedient to acknowledge that, making myself available daily to acknowledge that, humbling myself in his presence daily, not just sometimes during the day, but all the times during the day, to make myself available so that his will can be done within me. This paints a clear picture that even death, even the dismemberment of the body, even the dismemberment of old dry bones, God can still use you. God can still make you what he needs to make you if you'll only make yourself available. The bones made themselves available. They were scattered, but they made themselves available. The wind made itself available to breathe the breath of life into them. And when I think what we have a hard time with and what you said, Dr. Nooks, is people don't make themselves available anymore. Not for God. They make themselves available for all the other stuff they want to do, but not for God. And as our country goes and as people see the division, the rhetoric, the cruelness, people begin to think that's how it is, and I know we have a lot of listeners, and you know, I'm not trying to be political, I'm not trying to raggle anybody, but when you have a group, let's just call it what it is, when you have a group who says that they are Christian, evangelical Christian, but will not call out the stuff that is being done,
my Lord,
there's a problem. There is a problem, and we who have been called need to stand up in whatever form we have to do that.
Amen. Dr. Susie.
You know, yeah, this is such a powerful, powerful word. And this vision that Ezekiel has is so powerful. And I think the thing that jumps out at me, Dr. Nooks, is the fact of how dried up the bones were.
Yes.
And it makes me realize that as I look in our future, as I look at the United States of America I mean, people may not like what I'm getting ready to say. As I look at our churches, as I look at people who call themselves children of God, we are dried up. Oh, Jesus.
My Lord.
Lord, have mercy. We are extremely dry. But praise God, hallelujah. It's not our knowledge or our omniscience, because Ezekiel admitted, hey, I can't see that. I don't have that power. I don't have omniscience. But you, oh God, do. I don't know how many times we keep trying to do things in our own strength. We keep trying to act as if we got it going on. But until we get to the point where we will do what Chronicles says and cry out who we are to God, if my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, cry out to God, then God can restore. God can bring life to that which is dry, brittle, and dead. I mean, this is not just dead, but it's dry. Dry and brittle. And so we have come to a state in which it's not just we're not doing good. We're dry. We're beyond dead, Brother Nooks. The bones the bones themselves are deteriorating. And so God, amen, only God, has the power to bring that type of life. But it comes through what we speak. And we have to be so careful about what goes forth, because it's God's word, not our word. But if we speak the word that God has given us, that is written on our hearts, out of the study that we have, out of the relationship we have, out of the devoted time that we spend with God, all of that comes forth from the mouth into that which God would have us to do and say, to bring forth life. But it's only God's word that can do that. It's not any kind of word, but it's only God's word. And if we will stand on that, believe on that, then we can be restored. We can be renewed. We can have that hope of being made new in God's sight.
Yes.
But, you know, like Eric said, is they chose to place themselves where they were available to be transformed or restored. We got to want to do that. And I'm not sure we do, Brother Nuts.
Yeah, and I want to point us to that 8th and 9th and 10th verse again. And it says, and I looked and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them or no life in them. Then he said to me, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. That's restoration, isn't it?
That, amen. And it's pneuma, the spirit, breath, spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Amen. And Dr. Sisley, don't you think we have a real problem with that, the Holy Spirit moving in people and people allowing their lives to really be influenced by the Spirit. And I think this is causing us a lot of problems in our world and our churches today. We don't even have time for the Spirit. We don't even allow it to work. And I think you said earlier, we think we can do things ourselves. We don't even wait on the Spirit
of God.
In our
own might. In our own might. Yes.
Yeah,
we don't even consult God.
No, we absolutely don't. That's true. We don't. Or the Spirit speaks and we act like, well, that ain't what I want to do, so I'm not doing that. You know, the
or
Spirit says,
like,
hey, you need to, yeah, you know, you need to do so and so, so and so, and we act like now, well, now that ain't what I want to do, so I ain't doing that. So I'm gonna go over here and do this, and I'm gonna speak to that personal testimony, if you will. Last week, you know, I've been working with this group, and it wasn't my board members. It was the community board that really sets the policies for what we are doing in the community as working with the homeless. And I just kind of went off on them because I'm out here and I'm trying to do the work, and I'm being talked about and called everything but a child of God, and everybody criticizing the work that me and my group are trying to do, and I just had enough. I just been fed up. You know, the Lord had brought me through all of those investigations. Nobody found it, and all the monitorings have been great. Everything is going great, but I keep hearing these nagging, you know, comments in the community. And so I just finally told them last week, I'm like, you know what? If y'all feel that way, then y'all do this. My staff, we don't have to do this. We're doing this for you. We're contracted to do this work for you. But y'all can take that little $115,000 and y'all can do it. And my staff, we can just go run the programs that we need to run and be very successful. I don't need the aggravation. And they look, well, where is that coming from? I said, because I'm tired of y'all talking about me. Yeah, you entered into a contract with me, but you're talking about me behind my back. I said, and it's not fair for this staff to have to endure that. So I'll tell you what, y'all figure out what y'all want to do. You either want us to do the work and you want us to do it in the manner that it's being done, or you do it. And by the way, I can tell you that you don't have the capacity to do it. And they, oh, well, we need to have a conversation. We need to have a conversation. I said, well, you can have a conversation because I'm going to my office. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. So I went on down to my office, and that was like on Wednesday. And I just told them, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with y'all. So I get up the next morning and start my devotion and start reading. And I'll be doggone if the Spirit didn't put the scripture in front of me, and the Word says, you just do the work as you're doing it unto the Lord. Not that you're doing it to man, not that you're doing it for man. Work as you're working to the Lord, and be joyful in the work that you're doing for the Lord. And I said, yep, right. Okay. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said all those things to him, but I get what you're saying, Lord. I get what you're saying, and I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna rededicate myself to doing the work for the Lord, because that's the only reason I'm doing that's the only reason I do the work that I do, is that that's the mission field that the Lord gave me, and I know that very well, and I know that He has kept me through all that I've gone through, but that particular day I just had enough. And I just got into myself and my might, and the Lord told me the next morning, it ain't about your might, bro. It ain't about your might. So you know, you dial it down and just go on and do the work, and I'll take care of the rest. So that's just a little testimony.
Amen.
So are you doing the work? That's all I want to know.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I'm doing the work.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Colossians
3:23. Amen.
Amen.
So I wanted us to look at restoration, and I wanted to bring to the, you know, the maybe the understanding of our listeners that restoration is to bring back to something that you once had, come back to the state. But there's also reconciliation, and that's to be brought to God, or reconciled to God. So there are people that never had a relationship with God, and we call that reconciliation. So I want you to understand that.
What they had. I was thinking of what the hair wasn't all that.
Yeah.
What the hair with the Lord wasn't all that. I mean, sometimes we in relationships and, you know, we want restoration, but we don't want to restore it back to what it was. We want the authentic thing the way it should be. We want the real authentic relationship. We don't want a half step.
Amen.
And we have to look at something, Dr. Nuts, is that we talk about restoration, but it costs. This stuff ain't free. I know everybody wants it to be. All the relationship, it costs. You got to do work. Brother Eric just got through telling you he gets up early in the morning a whole hour earlier just to have devotion. It costs. It's not free. It takes some time and some effort and some pain. And, you know, I'm 17 hours away from my family trying to be obedient to God. It costs.
Yeah, you got to make sacrifices.
Amen.
There's got to be sacrifices made. And you got to be vulnerable.
And that's what people need to
know. But you know.
Because. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but you know, I think that's, as we talk about our churches and, you know, our people, the Christians, calling themselves Christians, is that they don't want it to be any pain. They don't want to make any sacrifices. And I don't, and for the life of me, I don't get anywhere in the scriptures that I read where God said that it was going to be, if once you choose me, it's easy living. I don't read that nowhere. I don't see the person who I call myself as Christ-like, I didn't see him have easy living.
Well,
what makes us think that we're supposed to? I don't get that.
He says, "The only thing I know is," he says, "come unto those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden, my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light." So God's saying that He is going to walk next to us and bear us up. Don't mean that. That is going to go away. He's going to, your burdens, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Yoking is an indication of walking next to you, holding you up so that you can get through whatever it is you got to go through. Don't mean you won't go through it.
Amen.
Yeah, pick up your cross daily.
Go ahead, Dr.
I was just going to say to our listeners that walking with Christ is the part that lifts you up. Knowing that Christ is with you, that is what gives you strength. That is what helps you to bear your burdens. It's like the people that were in the ship in the storm that, because Christ was with them, they made it through. Because Christ is with us, even when people act crazy, like with Brother Eric, the people trying to stab him in the back, he has relief in knowing that Christ is with him through the battles.
Amen.
So that's what, you know, people, and I agree with you, that people think that some, you know, they used to tell people, come to Jesus and everything will be okay. And that's the biggest lie that anybody ever told. But it's knowing that Christ is with you through the storms is what
It's
what helps me.
But Dr. Nuts, I'm gonna push back just a little bit on that, because I think we miss the meaning that when we say that just come to Jesus and everything will be all right. That means in the hereafter, for eternity. And I think we miss that piece. A lot of us think that if you just come to Jesus, everything will be all right for me in this plane. But that's not what that represents. Christ didn't represent that. Christ was making a preparation for our eternal home.
Well, and all we have to do is to look at the lives of his followers. Many of them were filleted alive, sawed in two, boiled in oil. I mean,
crucified, upside down, sideways.
Upside down.
Yeah.
beheaded, you know. So we need to know what it is we're asking for. We need to be aware that it costs. And
the scripture says count up the cost, right?
That's what it says.
Count up the cost. What man would try to start building a house and not have enough money to finish it? He'd be considered a
I think we skip over that, Brother Eric. I think we skip over that part. You know, because
I agree.
They're just talking about a house. No.
Yeah,
no, he ain't
we
just
do.
Talking about a house. Because I. Yeah.
I don't know if we can really get into the other part of our lesson. I think we may have tried to cover too much. The other part of the lesson is to bear fruit. And perhaps we can just read the scripture and talk about it somewhat. But if you've been restored, if you've been reconciled, if you're part of Christ, part of the body of Christ, you ought to bear fruit. And not just be a barren Christian, but you ought to bear fruit. And I wonder if we can just read Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Maybe we can discuss it briefly. Matthew 25, 14 through 30.
Dr. C, you got that in the message?
Yeah, I do. Matthew 25, I'm reading it now. Matthew 25, 14 through 30 says,
yes.
It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to a third one $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried the master's money. And after a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. One given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant with the $2,000 showed how he had also doubled his master's investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. And then the servant given $1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid, that I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound and down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. Lord have mercy. It's criminal. To live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the $1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe, who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness.
My Lord.
That's a different one. Ooh. Stop playing it safe. Trust in the Lord.
That really struck me. Yeah. I was afraid.
You know.
And so I took it and buried it.
I got slapped right there with the I was afraid thing. Woo. It says stop trying to live life cautiously. Woo. There's no way to live life.
Well, also when you try to do that, you take God out of the mix, because you lean into your own understanding of, well, I can't do that because this might happen, or I can't do that, or if I do this, and this, and you take God out of the mixture of that, because there is no faith to step out on.
Yes.
And what I heard was that You cannot live a fear-based life. You cannot.
Correct.
You've got to walk in faith. You've got to walk
Amen. As
if you, if the Lord, and the difference between belief and action is, you know, faith, put your faith in action and live. That's what I'm hearing. Put your faith in action and live. Don't be afraid to enjoy life. I admit, I'm down here and I'm like, I ain't going to the ice cream store because that's like 20 minutes away and I don't know that neighborhood or I don't know that stuff. So, you know, there's a balance that you have to obtain that's between common sense of knowing what's safe and being a fool. I mean, you can be a fool, but some things are, you know, that you know you shouldn't do because it's stupid. And then there are other things it's like you can do, but you're stepping out on faith because it's a positive thing that you can do to live your life versus a stupid thing that you could do that's dangerous in your life. You got to discern the difference between those two.
Amen.
Yeah. Dr. Nooks, can I take a point of liberty here? Because I noticed you had this other scripture down here, and it kind of, John 15, because it kind of gives another variation on this producing fruit, bearing.
Yes.
Can I read that real quick? This is New Living Translation, and I'll just read 1 through, I don't know, well, 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more fruit. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father.
Amen.
Well, I'll stop there. So clearly he's saying that yes, you need to produce fruit. You have been pruned to produce fruit because of the message you've received from me, but you've got to remain in me and I in you for this to work. Because if you go out on your own, you're gonna wither. Then the Father's going to have to cut you off, and they're going to gather you and burn you.
My Lord.
So it takes all three of us. It takes the gardener, the Father, it takes the vine, Jesus, and it takes you, the branch.
Amen. To bear fruit.
To bear fruit.
Amen. And we need to bear fruit, don't we? And this is a season when we really need to be bearing fruit.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let's just take Amen. A few moments and let's just share maybe with our those that are listening in what we got from the lesson tonight. I mean, there's so many messages that we can take from this, but what can we share with them about really being restored and bearing fruit?
This is Dr.
Yes,
Susie. And I feel that the number one thing is to remember to have a relationship with God. It always comes back to that for me, because in having that relationship, then you fully value what it is that if you lost it so that you can be restored, and it's important to you to get back. Therefore, you seek God because you love what you had. You know, it's like you had something of value. So that relationship is so phenomenal and instrumental. If you don't do anything else in your Christian life, the noise. If you will at least have a relationship with God and seek God, I mean, not just once, but continually, then restoration, all the things that you need to grow, even when you fall short, you can be restored, and God will never leave you nor forsake you, as God promised. I think that's the one thing that jumps out at me.
This is Eric. I think for me is the Ezekiel passage that, you know, no matter what you've done, no matter how dry you've gotten, no matter how far you've moved away, God is still able to restore you. Nothing you have done can keep you from being restored. And you need to make yourself available to be restored. That there is nothing that can keep you separated from God. Nothing. And I think a lot of our folks need to hear that, because, you know, they start a relationship and, you know, things get to going, you know, that things are fine, and then they hit a rough spot, and then it's like, oh, and then, you know, the next thing you know, you've drifted away, and we think that, oh, well, you know, Lord can't forgive me because I've done this, 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 and this. No. As Dr. Susie said, not only was it dead, but they were dry bones, brittle, deteriorating, and he restored them.
Lord. Amen.
Which means he can do the same thing for us in our relationship with him.
Amen. And I just wanted to share the scripture we read at the beginning was 2 Corinthians 5, 12 through 21. And that was about reconciliation. Yes.
Dr. Nitz, when you finish doing that, if you would go ahead and extend the invitation and closing prayer, I appreciate it.
Okay. In 2 Corinthians 5, 12-21, we learn about reconciliation. And there are many of you that maybe haven't been reconciled to Christ, and we want to pray about that tonight. But if you haven't been, now's the time. But those that get reconciled to Christ also need to bear fruit. Those that are being restored to Christ also need to bear fruit. And I was really moved by the Matthew 25 passage about being afraid and burying our talents, our gifts. And my sisters and brothers, we need to use the gifts that God has given us. And Satan makes us afraid, intimidates us, makes us feel like we can't do it, we're not worthy, we're not able. God makes us able. And the talents and gifts that you have are needed for kingdom building. And I just want to encourage you not to be afraid, and to be restored, to be reconciled, and then to bear fruit. And you use the talents that God's given you. Continue to walk with God. Continue to be led by the Spirit that God has given us. And you will bear fruit, and your message
That's
will be
enough.
Heard. Yes.
You said something and it triggered me, and I want you to hold your thought and don't stop there. But I don't want us to go so far. It just came hard on me that there are women out there listening, and many of you have spent your money, your energy, and you've gone to seminary, and you can't get that pastorate, you can't get that job where you think God had called you into after you've invested so much. Don't give up. That which God has seeded into you, God can use. Maybe it's not a traditional way, but in reality, the traditional way don't work no more. So you're just where you need to be. Let God use what you have, who you are, that God has vested in, and choose to trust an innovative way for God to use you to work in the kingdom and the kingdom build. Don't just give up because it's not a traditional method that you had maybe in your mind that you needed to do. And because it's not going that way, don't give up. Trust God's way, whatever way that is. It'll be different. But walk in what you hear. I think Brother Eric was talking about that earlier, about being able to listen and do it God's way and what God is sharing for us to do. So I heard that heavy on my heart, Dr. Nooks, and we know many women in ministry who've gone to seminary, who vested, and they feel that they need to give up because it didn't come the way they felt. And Brother Eric was talking about sometimes it ain't going to be the way we expect. It's going to be something unique and different. So thank you for bringing that up.
Amen. So I just want to at this time extend the invitation to many that may be listening in that need to be reconciled to God. Satan wants to keep you separate from God. God wants you to be reconciled or come to God. And the way to do that is through Christ. And for those of you that believe in Christ and you confess with your mouth and your heart, God raised him from the dead. Scripture says you shall be saved. And so if you've you just pray this prayer with God, I'm a sinner. I've been messing up, and God, I just want to come to you. But I want to be forgiven of my sins. I give myself to you, give my life to you right now. I ask you to come into my life and make me a new creature. And God, I believe in Jesus, and I want him to be the Lord of my life. And you're saved right now. And God, we pray for that person, those people that prayed that prayer, that you would touch their lives. And we pray also for those that are listening in, that you would touch their lives, their families, strengthen them in special. Bless Dr. Susie, who is our leader. Give her the strength and the comfort that she needs. Bless those that are listening in, God, that may be going through some things in their lives. And we pray for those that maybe have drifted away and they feel like they're dried up, that they would be restored and come back and be renewed and have new life. And God, we thank you for the Bible study. Help us to take the words and the messages and the thoughts shared in the prayers and apply them to our lives, that we might be better prepared to stand for you and against Satan and to love people as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Blessings.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.